Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Wednesday, December 3rd, 8:05 Central Time. We're going to get to our study of the Daily New Testament reading here in just a little bit, and I hope you can stick around for it. We're going to get into 1 Peter chapter 5 today. We are celebrating 90 years of proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ on Worldwide KFUO. This week, we're focused on our giving tree, and you can find out more about that on our website and on Facebook. It is covered with names of all our partners. You are listening. Who partner with us and have become a part of proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ with your support. Praying for us, supporting financially, that's a great way, and sharing your ideas with us as well. I want to say thanks to Christopher and Lael in St. Peter's, Missouri, and Vernon in Arnold, Missouri, and Linda and Bruce in Imperial, Missouri, and Monica and Dennis in Pleasant Plains, Illinois. Thanks so much for being our partners with us. Now, Monica and Dennis in Pleasant Plains have supported Worldwide KFUO in honor of Reverend Michael Cum for his service to KFUO during a challenging time and keeping KFUO steadfast in sharing the true gospel. And Linda and Bruce in Imperial, Missouri, in loving memory of Edwin Hatfield, Jane's 92-year-old father who passed into his heavenly home. So thank you so much for your support and being partners with us at Worldwide KFUO. Well, you can find out more, as I said, at KFUO.org. Or go to facebook.com/KFUO radio. You can see pictures of the giving tree there and find out more how to be a part of that. It is time to study the Daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor joining us by phone this morning, the Reverend Scott Kearns from St. Paul's Lutheran Church near Lincoln, Kansas. Good morning, Pastor Kearns.
Good morning. How are you?
I am well. How are you, sir?
Good.
How are you and all the saints there at St. Paul's Lutheran Church, not too far from Lincoln, Kansas?
We're doing wonderful.
Good.
By God's grace, yep.
Well, so glad to hear that. And tell us about the congregation. Tell us about a little bit about the history of St. Paul's and what you all are up to these days.
Well, St. Paul's was founded in 1911. We have been going now for almost 103 years. And we have been continuing to have God's word preached and sacraments administered, and certainly see God working in and through our congregation for all we do.
Very good. I'm so glad that God's word is being proclaimed there and that you all are about the Lord's work there. Today we are studying 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. Anything you'd like us to understand about the text before we dig in?
I would say that probably as we get ready to dig into this, we just realize that here Peter is addressing Jewish Christians who had been scattered through persecution into different territories, especially in 1 Peter we're looking at those people, and certainly we see during that time kind of a government and a ruler, especially Nero, who was certainly known for his persecution of Christians. So that's kind of the context in which he's writing now to those people, those Christians, to remind them of God's grace.
Oh, all right. Very good. We are digging into 1 Peter chapter 5 this morning with Pastor Scott Kearns from St. Paul's Lutheran Church near Lincoln, Kansas. If you have questions or comments today, you can give us a call 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. That's 1-800-730-2727. Or you can email us kfuo@kfuo.org. We'd be glad to take some questions or comments as we're digging into the text today here on His Time. Let's take a look at 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. All right, let's take a look at this. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Elders, I exhort the elders among you. Who are the elders here, Pastor?
Well, to put it simply, pastors. So I exhort the pastors among you as a fellow pastor, as a disciple, as a witness of Christ's sufferings, as an apostle. Here Peter is not only pointing to who these people are that are now standing in God's place, but he is also saying that he is one who has seen the sufferings and is, well, a partaker of the glory that is going to be revealed.
Very good. So as a fellow elder, a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Shepherd the flock. Care for the flock. Care for the flock of God that is among you.
Right. Absolutely. It's the work of going together with the flock, leading them, protecting them, and we're going to see that protection come later. As it's very important, it's vital for this church to be protected against all the adversaries, the persecution that is to come.
Eight. And he says, "Do this, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly." How do you go about caring for shepherding this flock? He says, by exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly. Your thoughts?
Right. I think that sometimes the pastor is way up in up here and the just way up high and these. The people are just down low, and they say, "You're going to do this. You're going to do this, people." And people ultimately say, "Not sure about that. Not sure what you're." And ultimately, it's a pastor is looking to for the best interest of his congregation. I mean, I've had so many times where I guess you probably in seminary you hear, look, love your people, think about them, look out for their best interest, and then when you are exercising oversight, it's not in a domineering fashion, it's not under compulsion, but it's rather ultimately for their best interest, looking to what is their best interest. Especially spiritually, and that certainly is where our flock and the shepherd fall into place, looking to God and what he would want his people to be doing.
So not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. Be examples of what God has given us to be and to do.
Yeah. There's again where... I've seen so many examples of kind of where this falls, where this doesn't actually happen, and sadly, I'm sure people know that there are, look, turn on the news, you'll hear about pastors doing this, that, and the other than being faithful people faithful to their people, faithful to God's word, hear about such vile things, and here we're told to actually be examples to the flock, for them to see what the Christian faith is and how it's lived out, and that's what our calling is. That's what Peter exhorts us to do here.
And when the chief, verse 4, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. So if Jesus is the chief shepherd, then what does that make the elders or the shepherds in the congregations?
Under-shepherds, I would say.
Under-shepherds. So when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. What is this unfading crown of glory that the chief shepherd brings?
Eternal life with him. Eternal life with the shepherd. Heaven. Life forever. You know, everything that has been promised finally comes, and that is the crown of glory, the prize. The what we've been looking for is finally Christ and being with him forever in heaven.
Verse 5, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. All right, so you who are younger, likewise, I guess I can't look past that word there, likewise. When that shows up in the text, it's referring to something. It's always referring back to something else, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah, likewise. You who are younger, be subject to the elders. Likewise, look at, even finally the elders are subject to Christ. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders.
Everybody is subject. Everybody reports to somebody. That's just part of the structure. That's just part of life. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily something that our culture today really appreciates, but it's a fact. It's a reality of life. Everybody is subject to somebody. You can hear the scriptures say, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. Being subject and humility kind of go hand in hand, don't they?
They do, yeah. Even in the church, I think we sometimes miss the point that, you know, being subject, finally, if we even go back to the Ten Commandments, we are to be subject to God. We are to fear, love, and trust in him above all things. And then finally, what's the fourth commandment, right? We're honor your father and mother, right? That there is where we finally have the what Luther or what the confessions say is this is the greatest of the commandments 4 through 10, right? That this is the one that finally puts everything into place, because finally everyone realizes that there is this ordered authority, and this is for ultimately one's benefit. And so we, you know, ultimately are all under some kind of authority. Maybe it's not like for me when I go to do military stuff in the reserves, you know, there's a certain thing. When they say jump, I ask how high, but certainly there is something, you know, that we are to be ordered and to finally find our life within this ordered structure, to give those who are above us what is owed to them, so that they might continue to look out for us.
Why is it that being subject, why is it that we in our culture are so opposed to being subject to someone else, that we think we are all free agents, we can do whatever we want, and it doesn't really and that's the best life to have, to be free agents, do whatever we want? Why are we so opposed to that in our culture?
Well, I think our culture says that we want to be our own bosses, we want to make our own thing, we want to raise ourselves up by our own bootstraps, and what it basically it says is we don't want somebody over us telling us what to do. We want this because we want to be our own, well, gods. We all want to be our own gods, to have our own authority over ourselves, rather than realize that we are finally not God. We are under him. We are his children. And I think our culture kind of fights against that. It wants to be a God in itself.
That's that old Adam nature in us, right?
Yeah, sinner. Yeah, absolutely.
God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. This is in quotes in the ESV. Is this a reference to something else?
It is. Yep. As we're looking at this, before we get there, I just, you know, as we look at this, I think baptism is especially mentioned in chapter 3 of 1 Peter, but as we look, he says, clothe yourselves, and this is looking at our baptismal life, our baptisms as we have been clothed in Christ and given his given new life in him, given his grace. So
we are clothed in him, we are given his grace. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. He gives graciously, and well, we're going to talk more about being humble here in just a little bit. We'll get to that in verses 6 and following. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue studying 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 14 today with Pastor Scott Kearns from St. Paul's Lutheran Church near Lincoln, Kansas. And if you have questions or comments, give us a call, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. Stick around for more right after this break on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Worldwide KFUO salutes our day sponsor on this Wednesday, December 3rd, 2014. Today's day sponsor is Marion Kasten. Today's day sponsor has made a contribution to Worldwide KFUO in loving memory of Albert Kasten, who went home to heaven on this day in 2002. The Kasten family shares Isaiah 57:1. Once again, we say thank you to Marion Kasten and the Kasten family, today's Worldwide KFUO day sponsor.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We are studying the daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Scott Kearns from St. Paul's Lutheran Church near Lincoln, Kansas. We're in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. If you have questions or comments, give us a call, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. Or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org, as we're digging into 1 Peter chapter 5. Pastor, any other comments up through this verse 1 through 5? Boy, we still have plenty to do yet, don't we?
We do. We're trying to rush through this almost because it's so loaded. It is here Peter just is writing, and you can see there's so much in here, so much, almost every sentence we could spend 5 minutes on talking about how important this is in looking at its context and looking at how it ultimately informs the life of Christians and their pastors.
All right, let's take a look at verse 6 and following. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. All right, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. So if I humble myself, God will exalt me. Does that make it into works of righteousness? I am so humble, I'm the most humble person I know.
yeah, I think that that is, you know, it's a danger of reading that in that way. The if then, if this, then I do this, and then I'm good, right? I am making this out to be a work. Ultimately, humble yourselves, therefore. Who humbles us? It's ultimately God who humbles us. And as ourselves are humbled, yourselves are humbled, and that comes under the mighty hand of God, so at the proper time, He may exalt you. Certainly, it's only under God's grace that we have even the possibility of exalting, because it is ultimately Him who gives us salvation through Christ, and that where we can stand, where ultimately now God looks at us and sees not the sinner that we are, but ultimately Christ and what He has done for us.
Casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. He says, cast all your anxieties on Him. What are our anxieties? This word anxious or anxieties is more than just worries. It's cast all your anxieties, all your problems, all your troubles, cast all of them on Him because He cares for you.
Right. Now, if you think about the ultimate context of this and looking at all of these people, these scattered Christian or Jews who had been scattered through persecution, they had certainly all kinds of anxieties. They had all kinds of worries. You know, least among them, are they ultimately going to be found out and be put to death? As we know that Peter ultimately and his wife, at least by tradition, that Peter and his wife were crucified as well. That ultimately that they, you know, have these anxieties, these cares, so much so we have in this day and age anxieties, cares. Where's my next meal going to come from is not necessarily it. Certainly there are people who wonder that, but, you know, just how am I going to, am I going to have enough money for my taxes? And if, is there going to be enough to put money in my gas tank and also to make sure that my kids are clothed? And, you know, we have all kinds of anxieties and cares that ultimately lead us to worry. But ultimately, we know that all of our cares, all of these even first article things that God gives to us, our clothing, shoes, food, drink, all of that is from God, and that we should ultimately know that He will continue to provide for us. He will ultimately give us all that we need to support this body and life, and that we ultimately should think about the more important things, what comes next, in verse 8.
Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. All right, so be sober-minded, be watchful. There is an adversary, the devil, who prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think a lot of times we talk very much about the devil. We don't talk about his works, his ways, you know, even hell itself. I was just looking, you know, well, we have people like Rob Bell who even question the very existence of hell. And yet, we as Christians, certainly what the Bible teaches is that certainly there is a real devil. There is a real adversary of God that ultimately is put to death. That is left wanting only because of Christ and what He did on the cross. And yet this adversary continues to try to get Christians to try to ultimately seek those to steal away from the flock of God and to also have us have ruin for eternal damnation in hell.
There is, resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Suffering is, here we hear that suffering is a part of the life. We should expect suffering, but we can also know that that our brothers and sisters in Christ are experiencing this suffering as well.
Yeah, yeah. And ultimately, it pales in comparison, to the suffering that was what Christ suffered on our behalf, right? This suffering is only temporal. It's only for this time. And we should realize that, you know, it's a part of life. It certainly hurts. You know, when any of our brothers and sisters throughout the world suffer, we hurt as well. You know, I think President Harrison was quoting Luther, that he said, when one member suffers, all suffer together. When it's almost like you stub your little toe on a chair or a table, and the whole body reels in pain. The whole body of Christ ultimately reels in pain at the suffering that's experienced, but yet we're together as one body in Christ.
And going back a few verses, cast all your anxieties on him, even if you're suffering, because he cares for you. Even in the midst of your suffering, you are not alone. Christ cares for you, and you have this brotherhood throughout the world that cares for you.
Yeah.
And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Even after you suffer a little while, God will, because of his grace, he is the God of all grace. He's called you to his eternal glory, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you.
Yeah. Now, when we look at the suffer for a little while, I think the tendency is to say, I just suffer a little bit, you know, and then we're expecting that this will happen, that God will confirm, restore, strengthen, and establish you right now here on earth. And that's ultimately not what we're looking to. After we have suffered a little while in this whole life that God has given us, then the God of all grace will finally give us the life eternal, the glory that is in Christ, that he will restore, confirm, establish, and strengthen you. So we're not looking at this life, but we're looking ultimately with our eye to what is the life to come, the life that God has promised through his Son, Jesus Christ.
To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Your thoughts, Pastor?
Certainly, it's God, right? To him, you know, at least I'm looking at the ESV, and it's lowercase him, but for our listeners out there, it should be, to God be dominion forever and ever. Amen. Just so we're clear.
The final greetings here by Sylvanus, a faithful brother as I regard him. I have written briefly to you, exhorting and declaring that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. She who is at Babylon, who is likewise chosen, sends you greetings, and so does Mark, my son. Greet one another with the kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. All right. Do we know anything about Sylvanus?
Sylvanus is a companion, a person who was with Paul, and then now is one who was ultimately helping Peter here, is what we understand. He was helping him write this letter. Remember, Peter is, well, a fisherman, and so not necessarily his Greek or his writing abilities were up to par, and so Sylvanus was helping that Peter might be able to write down this letter, that it would ultimately be that he could help him. It says, as I regard him, I have written briefly to you. That this is actually Silvanus, or I have his brother in Christ.
I have written you briefly to you, exhorting and declaring that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. This is God's grace. This is true grace. Stand firm in it. She who is at Babylon, who is likewise chosen, sends you greetings, and so does Mark, my son.
Right. The she who is at Babylon is the church who is at Rome. The church who is at Rome, who is likewise chosen by God, sends you greetings. And so does my son Mark. Remember, Peter had his wife, and then ultimately his son. That's his family, and he's exhorting them to his church, right? Who is at Rome? Sends you greetings. So this is one church sending another greetings.
And. Greet one another with the kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ.
Right. And ultimately, it's the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, the peace that gives us, you know, our life is ultimately Christ and what he has done for us and who we are on account of him.
Let's go to the listener lines with a question before we wrap up here. Good morning, Mike in St. Louis.
Hey, how you doing today, Andy?
Good, good.
How's your co-host doing?
My co-host, Pastor Kern's doing great here today.
That's good. Hey, listen, he may literally mean the city of Babylon, because back then, even though Babylon was not a major city or power back in them days, it was a major cultural site of Judaism in which the Babylonian Talmud came from. So he may actually mean literally Babylon. It's very possible. I'd like to be interested in what you might think about that.
Thanks for your call, Mike. Pastor, how is the term Babylon used normally in the text?
Well, Babylon here is we're looking, and it symbolizes the Roman persecution of believers, and this was like the city of Babylon, was a wretched and horrible city for God's people, and so this is a symbol of this persecution, and it's a derogatory term for the city of Rome, and ultimately. It's talking about the church at Rome is what makes sense in order to where the greetings would come from. It's here Peter is sending greeting, or the church is sending greetings as well. So,
Pastor, looking over the text as a whole today, anything else you'd like for us to learn from this 1 Peter chapter 5 text?
Well, I think that as we look to this, you know, certainly what I've seen throughout this text is kind of two divisions, at least to start off with, between Christ and his looking at him, and then finally we have you know, we're being exhorted by you know, in God's word, ultimately that there is a shepherd, or that there is the under shepherds, that they are that these elders, if you will, that they are integral to the flock of God, and that ultimately then there's the other one, the other thing, the people of God, the those who are younger are kind of two divisions, and that they all together make up this flock of God that ultimately is shepherded by Christ. And as we look and see how God, throughout all of the persecutions, throughout all the world, and you know, from that time, and this church that was certainly under all kinds of persecution, even up until today and onward, that even as we go through persecutions, that we are finally together going to resist our adversary, the devil, our adversaries, those who are in authority over us, the governments, if you will, that ultimately we're going to resist, we're going to stand firm in our faith, knowing that all of this, all of the sufferings, all of the persecutions, all of this that we see all around us will finally, by God's grace, pass away, that we will receive everlasting life in Christ.
Amen. We've been studying the daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Scott Kearns from St. Paul's Lutheran Church near Lincoln, Kansas. Thanks so much for being our guest pastor today, Pastor Kearns.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
God bless you and all the saints at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Kansas. Coming up in just a little bit, we've got some sacred music to sanctify your morning and morning prayer coming up during the 9 o'clock hour. Hope you can join us for the rest of his time right here on listener-supported worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.